This morning we continue to think about what it means to make an offering. Over the last couple weeks we've talked about making an offering of our gifts, of our spiritual gifts. We've talked about making an offering of our tithes. And this morning we talk about making an offering of ourselves. So I invite you to remember again that as we've thought about this offering that we're all invited to make, we focused on the verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 that's printed at the top of your bulletin. And it says this: each of you must give as you've made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So God loves those of us who give from our hearts with joy. God loves a cheerful giver, a joyful giver, a heartfelt giver. I invite you to join with me, if you wish, in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10. I'm going to start at verse 25. And perhaps today, as you hear a familiar story to many of us, you will hear it with fresh ears as you think about making an offering. Will you hear now God's word from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him and passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. When he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. So just by a show of hands, I need to know how many of us are familiar with the song, The Hokey Pokey. All right, give me a show of hands. All right, most everybody's familiar with the song, The Hokey Pokey. You put your right hand in, you put your right hand out. You put your right hand in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about. That's what it's all about, right? You've got it. So my favorite part of the hokey pokey is not the right hand or the left hand or the right foot or the left foot, but it's the time of the song when we get to sing, you put your whole self in. You put your whole self out. You put your whole self in and you shake it all about. Your whole self, not just the right hand, not just the left hand, not the right or the left foot, but your entire being, all that you are, gets put inside of the circle in the hokey pokey and you get to shake yourself about. Because that, friends, is what it's all about. Putting your whole self in. So if you did a Wikipedia study of the Hokey Pokey, you would learn that there are multiple origins for the song the Hokey Pokey, going back all the way to Great Britain when they called the song not the Hokey Pokey, but the Hokey Cokey. It is pretty common that in America, the song originated in 1949 to entertain some folks who were at a ski resort. The song became a hit at the ski resort, and then it has just transferred over lots and lots and lots of years. Perhaps there are some origins to the Hokey Pokey back to some magicians' language, the magicians who do hocus pocus. And so the language Hokey Pokey. There's even perhaps, and this might be a stretch, but Wikipedia says it, so I'm sure it's true, that Hocus Pocus is a derivative of the Latin for Hoc Corpus Meum, which is this is the body, from the Catholic Mass. Not sure about that, but Wikipedia says it, so we'll go with it. Nonetheless, the Hokey Pokey is something that's familiar to all of us, but the invitation is for us not just to put our right hand in or our left hand out, but it's to put our whole self in and to shake it all about. Our text today, our text from the Gospel of Luke, is a whole self kind of text. It's a whole self text. Not just a right hand or a left hand or a right foot and a left foot, but it's everything, all that you are and all that you have. A lawyer comes up to Jesus, and the lawyer says to Jesus, "What is the most important commandment?" Actually, what the lawyer says is, "How is it, Jesus, that I would get eternal life? How am I going to inherit this? What do I have to do in order that I can live? What's the most important thing that I need to do?" And Jesus says, "Well, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus goes on to describe who the neighbor would be. And he tells the story, a story of a man who's beaten and is robbed and is left to die on the side of a road down from Jerusalem to Jericho, which we can imagine is quite a dusty, deserted desert path. So here this man has been left to die, and along comes a priest, and the priest walks the other way. And then the Levite, the one that a religious scholar comes along, passes by and walks the other way. And the least likely of people to come along was a Samaritan. A Samaritan is somebody that the Jews didn't have any sort of regard for in terms of hospitality or love. They kind of wanted to not have anything to do with the Samaritans. And so here comes the Samaritan. And the Samaritan rushes to the man who's down on his side and who's dying on the side of the road. And he pours oil and wine on his wounds, and he begins to bandage up those wounds. And then he picks up the man that's hurt and is dying. He puts him on top of his animal, and he takes him to the nearest inn where the man can rest and receive care. We can imagine that the Samaritan found some water for this man to drink and made sure that he had the proper medication. And he left 2 denarii there for the innkeeper, and said to the innkeeper, "You take care of him while I'm gone. And when I come back, keep your tab, because I'll pay you for all the care that you provide him while I'm gone." Do you hear, friends? It's a whole self kind of text. It's a whole self package that's found here in the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. First, we're invited to love with all that we are. The repetition of that word all, with all of your heart, not just a part of it, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, a whole self, all that you are. We are invited from Jesus in order to inherit eternal life, to love with all that we are, to love God and to love our neighbor. And that's exactly what the Samaritan did. The Samaritan's actions exemplified that he was putting his whole self in. He binds up this man's wounds who's laying on the side of the road. He puts oil on them and tenderly cares for him. He put his whole self in. He puts the man up on top of an animal and takes him to a nearby inn. And then he takes care of him overnight. And then when it comes time for him to leave, he makes way for long-term care for the injured man. Leaves money behind for the care to continue and promises to come back and repay those who cared for him in his absence. The Samaritan was putting his whole self in. He was loving God with his whole heart, his soul, his mind, his strength, with all that he was. And he was loving his neighbor as he would love himself. This man used his gifts, his spiritual gifts, perhaps the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy that reached out to care for someone in need. This man used his resources, his own money, his own tithe, in order to help the person who was in need. The Samaritan made a whole self offering, both of his gifts, his money, his resources, all that he has and all that he is. Each Sunday morning when we have the opportunity to bring our offering and to have, for the ushers to bring it forward and they hold it before the altar and we sing the doxology, we sing our praises to God, hopefully with all that we are and all that we have, returning to God these our gifts. And then I offer us a prayer, and I typically always include in that prayer, as we stand before you, we make an offering of ourselves. God, receive our hearts. Receive our hands. Receive our feet. Receive our very lives for your service. Help us, God, put our whole selves in order that we can reach out and share love with the world around us. Loving God and loving our neighbor is a whole self offering that we are invited and challenged to make on a daily basis. In fact, friends, I believe that the most tangible way for us to love God with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, the most tangible way that we can do that is by loving our neighbor. And who is our neighbor? Our neighbor is anyone who is in need. Anyone who is in need. You might notice from the story of the Good Samaritan that the Samaritan just simply crossed the road and responded to a need. He didn't ask the man his political affiliation. He didn't look at him and examine what sort of race or ethnicity that he held. He didn't ask where he went to church or if he went to church at all. He didn't say, "Do you have money or not?" He simply responded to his neighbor in need. We are invited to love God in that same kind of way, to simply respond to our neighbor's needs, to put our whole selves in, and to love in return. Myers Memorial does this in our schools. We put our whole selves in. Some of us mentor and volunteer in our schools. Others of us pack food that goes into a backpack that goes home with children who might not have enough to eat over the weekend. And still others of us pray diligently and faithfully every single day for our teachers, for our staff, and for our students. We put our whole selves in to our schools. We put our whole selves into our community. When there's a need for someone to have a wheelchair ramp or a minor home repair in order that their lives might be a little simpler, Myers Memorial responds with a whole self kind of offering, showing up there with tools and hammers and strong backs and feet in tow, ready to complete the task called Mission Possible. And meanwhile, there's others who are working to make sure that food and drink are provided in order that those who are working hard are cared for throughout the day. It's a whole self kind of offering. The gifts and the talents of this congregation abound. Our choir, for example, freely offer the beautiful music to us week after week after week. Not because they have to, but because God has freely gifted them with the ability to sing. And they make an offering, a whole self offering. When we make that same kind of offering, when we make an offering of ourselves, our whole selves, it shows that all that we have and all that we are is because of God's graciousness to us. We offer to God our gifts, our spiritual gifts, so that they might be used for God's glory, so that they might be used to draw others into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. We offer God's tithe, God's tithe, God's first 10%, God's first fruits of our labor. We offer that to God because it started, originated, and belongs to God. And we return it, giving God thanks for all that God has given to us, trusting that God will bless us in the future. Putting our whole selves in is the offering that we are challenged to make. There's friends that I've met over the years of ministry who put their whole selves in. A man named Gary who could be found at a church in Newton, clapping his hands every time a new worshiper entered into the sanctuary. He stood at the door and clapped his hands and welcomed everybody to church every Sunday morning. And his clapping continued as he pulled out some money out of his wallet and put it into the offering plate. He put his whole self in and clapped his little heart out. And then when he came for communion, you couldn't contain the excitement on his face as he literally was almost running up the aisle to receive the gift of the sacrament and the clapping that abounded from Gary. Gary put his whole self in. A woman named Linda at a church in Shelby. Linda has the gift, the ability and the talent to cook. And one of the things that Linda does is make sure that any time there's a need for food, that need is responded to. Meals for new babies, meals for visitors, meals for surgeries, meals for the bereaved, soup for the shut-ins, brownies and chicken salad just because. A whole self kind of offering. And Samantha, a freshman in high school, who really had a heart for helping others and for showing the love of God in a real and tangible way, quickly learned that hospice was kind of the thing that got her passions going. It was something that made her excited. And so Samantha, as a freshman, organized a ministry that reached out to the hospice patients who resided at the hospice house in the town that she lived. Around this time every year, Samantha was busy organizing groups of people into decorating pumpkins and painting those pumpkins and taking them and delivering them to the hospice house. And not just delivering them to the hospice house, but providing them to the hospice nurses that could carry out into the community to deliver to the hospice patients. A whole self kind of offering. Your stewardship committee this year has decided to make a whole self offering of the money budgeted to them in our church budget. You might remember that in the past, the stewardship committee has hosted a lunch on Stewardship Sunday. And it's been a lunch for us just to gather and celebrate around table and to give God thanks for the life and ministry of Myers Memorial. This year, the stewardship committee decided that they wanted to do something a little different with that. They wanted to make a whole self kind of offering. They wanted to give that money to ensure that it helped someone else. It's not that they didn't want us to fellowship around table, but we have many opportunities to do that. So they wanted to take the money and make sure that that money was split among an event for our community. Money that goes to help Trunk or Treat tonight, to make sure that those who come from our community have a safe and a loving place. And another part of the money budgeted to the stewardship committee is going to UMCOR to help out the United Methodist Committee on Relief, who's like our United Methodist version of the American Red Cross. that's reaching out and helping those whose hands and feet are really dirty, helping our neighbors in need who've lost their personal possessions, their homes, some of their very lives due to the devastation from the recent hurricanes. So your stewardship committee put a whole self offering, an offering that didn't just take care of us, but reached far beyond us to people whose lives that we may never know and may never encounter their path. And yet that whole self offering gets extended because of your generosity. Jesus says, do this, and you will live. Put your whole self in. Jesus says to us, go Myers Memorial, and do likewise. That, friends, that's what it's all about. Go and do likewise.